technology. I've been thinking about it and toying with the idea. I talked to the choir about it a couple of times. One Sunday morning, I think in the near future, we're going to have a celebration of the bass singers in this church. And all of our songs are going to require bass leads in the chorus. Okay? So just keep that in mind. I'd love to hear the men as they lead congregational singing during those types of songs. And so you'll have plenty of advance notice. So that you can plan your fishing trip and whatever you need to do. But I'm looking forward to that, and I think the seed has been planted. As we sing How Great Thou Art this morning and prepare to go to the Lord in prayer, I told the choir Wednesday, I really didn't want to put this one in the program this morning. I looked and I thumbed through the book, and we all know how those arguments go. And I lost. So it's in the service this morning. It's in the service for a reason this morning. And no matter how much I debate with the Lord from time to time about what should be there, I have to realize I don't know what should be there. I know what I want in there, but that's not what the Lord wants in there sometimes. And so, turning over to Him completely, our song service this morning, we're going to finish up with number 10, How Great Thou Art. We'll ask you to stand on the last verses. Matter of fact, let me back that up. I'm not going to ask you to stand on the last verse. We've done this before, and I feel led to do it again this morning. You stand when the Lord tells you to stand in worship. We are here to magnify the Lord this morning. Now, we get to the fourth verse. We always stand as the choir comes out, and I understand that. But I don't want that command to make you stay glued to the seat. If the Lord wants you to stand up and praise the Lord this morning, then you stand up and praise the Lord. And if that's in the first verse or the second or the third or one of the choruses, it doesn't matter. Remember what we talked about the first thing this morning. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And so if the Lord puts it on your heart this morning to praise Him, it doesn't matter what you or I or your neighbor may think or even care. It is between you and the Lord. And if He says, praise me, then we are to praise Him. So let us give our hearts wholly over to the Lord during this song. Praise when the Lord puts it upon your heart. And the choir will be dismissed on the fourth verse as we sing, How Great Thou Art.
All right. praise.
Heavenly Father, we love you so much.
Yes, Lord.
I glorify your name, Heavenly Father. It's so good to be in your spirit of God. When we die, we're going to heaven. And
yes.
I praise the Lord for that. If there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, Father, Heavenly Father, I pray that today will be the day that they accept you. I pray you'll give us all a blessed day. I pray for the sick, especially for little bit, continue to heal their body.
Yes.
And see your will. These blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Our pastor has a difficult job at times. I know on some Sunday mornings it's difficult to stay motivated and get up here. And sometimes he and I look out across the congregation and we wonder if we're having an impact on people's lives.
Yeah.
But I don't envy him at all this morning, because he got a tough act to follow this morning, regardless of how attentive we may be. Very, very special music this morning. And then Brother David, after that, you're on your own.
All right.
Talk to me today.
watch. Yeah. You know, we're going to talk about giving today. Yeah. Do y'all like to get things? But it's plenty. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed. It makes us happier when we give. And we're going to talk about that. You know, when we give smiles, she's getting blessed in me with that smile. And what are you going to give us today, Eli?
A great big hug.
All right. Well, I'll take that. That's good. I like a great big hug. You know, whenever you give, it makes you feel better. Because, see, giving is what Jesus told us to do. He said that that's the best thing to do is to give. Yeah. I know. My goodness. She is so precious. You all are. Well, I'm glad you came today. Would you like the coloring book? Let me say a prayer for you first, and then we'll give you something. You want a coloring book? Okay. Father, thank you for these precious children. Thank you, Lord, for their love and for bringing them here today. They are so sweet. Lord, I pray that you bless them as we go into the service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, since they're going to get coloring books, why don't y'all get up across the aisle and welcome somebody to church? Show love to one another. That's what y'all want. Sat on the mountain that day, he started out the Beatitudes with the word blessed. And the word blessed is an interesting word. It means to be prosperous. It means to be content, but it also means to be happy. And Jesus wanted people to know what would make them happy. You know, we think things make us happy. We think the more things we have, the happier we'll be. But Jesus didn't even mention things when he spoke in his sermon on the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, that's the humble, they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. And blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are you when everyone shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Jesus spoke of what it would be to be blessed. And today we see one of those beatitudes that was not recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, but it's recorded in the book of Acts. And it's in Acts chapter 20, verse 25. I'm going to ask you if you would read it responsibly with me. If you have a book, you can see the section I want you to read. But Acts chapter 20, as the Apostle Paul speaks, and as he finishes his sermon to the church at Ephesus, he says, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said,
it is more blessed to give than to receive.
It is more blessed to give than to receive. No, the apostle was getting ready to leave the church at Ephesus. He had been there for 3 years. He had been preaching and lifting up and telling them great things and telling them all about Jesus. And then he comes out with this lost beatitude. It's more blessed to give than to receive. And it's the heart of what Jesus taught us. Now, what does the Bible tell us Jesus said here? It says he's more blessed to give than to receive. Let's break that down first of all. It is a blessing to receive things. I like receiving stuff, don't you?
Amen.
And I particularly like, and I get hurt when I don't receive things. On Father's Day, I like my children to call me and wish me a happy Father's Day. I've got a card that's hanging on the wall of my study at home that my youngest son gave me on Father's Day. That, by the way, was the same Father's Day that my oldest son forgot to call and didn't say anything. But I love him anyway because, to be honest, many times I forgot to call my daddy and my mama and wish them a happy Mother's Day and a happy Father's Day. You're blessed when you get a card on your birthday. Sherry's birthday is today. I hope y'all tell her happy birthday when you see her. You know, it's a wonderful thing when people remember stuff like that. I've got things hanging all over the wall of my office. Y'all can walk through my office sometimes. It looks like a museum. But some of the things that I love the best, I've got a letter that a child wrote to me. And on that letter it said, you are a good pastor. And they spelled pastor wrong, P-A-S-T-E-R. But I cherish that more than anything, that a child would give me that. And I hung it on the wall. I have another card that a lady wrote me, and she thanked me for some things I had done for her. And it just blessed my heart so much I hung it just before my desk. Whenever I get depressed, and we all get depressed and down sometimes, I look at that card and it lifts me up. It's a wonderful thing to receive things. You know, the Bible doesn't say it's bad to receive. There was one time Jesus went to have a meal at a man called Simon the leper. They went to his house. And Simon had invited him in. And while Jesus was sitting at that dinner that day, this lady came in, and she came in with an alabaster box, the Bible tells us, a very precious ointment. And then she poured it on his feet. And she washed his feet with her tears and dried them with the hair of her head. Jesus was sitting there, and Simon, sitting off to the side, he looked real bitter. And he looked at Jesus, and he thought to himself, he said, if this man was a prophet, he would know who this woman was. Jesus asked Simon that day, he said, Simon, he said, when I came to your house, you didn't give me any water for my feet. You didn't hardly welcome me into this place. But he said, this woman, since I've been here, she's been washing my feet with her tears and drying them with the hair of her head. You didn't give me any oil to anoint my head and my hands. He said, but she's broken open a costly box of alabaster. And Jesus said this. He said, the things that she's done to prepare me for burial. You see, God gave her an opportunity to be blessed by giving to Jesus. And Jesus was very blessed by receiving. You know, we're blessed whenever good things are given to us. And God asked us to pray all the time. You know, when we pray, my favorite prayer is the Lord's Prayer. Do y'all ever pray that?
No.
I pray it first thing in the morning. And what is the part of the Lord's Prayer? Right after we exalt God and lift Him up and magnify Him, we say, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. We're saying, God, I want you to give me some stuff. I want you to feed me. I want you to feed me spiritually. I want you to take care of my physical needs. And then we ask God to forgive us. I say, God, forgive us our debts as we've forgiven our debtors, because every day we sin and we need the forgiveness of God. We're asking for something from God, aren't we? So those things are blessings. God wants something from us. One day a man came to Jesus and he asked Jesus this question. He said, good master, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, he said, you need to keep the commandments. He said, you need to honor your father and your mother. You need to do the things that God told you in the commandments. Don't murder. Don't steal. The man said, well, I've done this from my youth up. Then Jesus said, you have one other thing you need to do. He said, sell everything that you have, give it to the poor, and then follow me, and you'll have eternal life. And the Bible tells me that that man went home that day sad because he had great possessions. You see, he loved the stuff that he had more than he loved the Lord. You see, it's a wonderful blessing to receive, but it's much more blessed to give. It's much more blessed. I remember this story one time that a missionary told, and I thought it was very humorous. Missionary was over in Africa. And you know, in the United States, we don't really understand what poverty is. We really don't. But over in Africa, it's very impoverished. And the missionaries went over in a certain area in Africa, and they were going to have Sunday school. Now, in this place in Africa, the weather is fairly nice, but children, young children, a lot of times, they don't wear any clothes whatsoever. They run around stark naked. You say, well, that's uncouth. Well, they don't have a lot of clothes. So anyway, they were having Sunday school, and one little boy, he came to church, and he was stark naked. The Sunday school teacher said, honey, I love you, but you need to go home and tell your mama to put something on you, put some clothes on you, because you can't sit in the Sunday school class that way. The missionary said, the little boy went home, and he came back about 10 minutes later, and he was just proud. He was smiling. He had some clothes on that day. You know what he had on? A pair of suspenders. You know, it's more blessed to give than to receive. It really is. I want to talk about another boy, a young boy. I'm always fascinated with the story that the Bible tells us about Jesus feeding the 5,000. I never get tired of that story. It's in all of the Gospels. And Jesus had been teaching all day long. And the Bible says that at the end of the day, he asked his disciples, he said, we need to feed these people. He said, see if you can find some food. And in Matthew, it tells us that Jesus sent his disciples out. They came back. And it says, one of them came back with two fish and five little loaves of bread. Now, my commentaries tell me that that is a child's meal. And I want to talk about the little child. The Bible don't talk about it, but I don't think I'm being wrong by talking about a little child. Because if it's a child's meal, a little child had to get it there that day. Can I get an amen on that?
Yeah.
I want you to imagine yourself as that little child that day. You hear that Jesus is coming that day. So you go to your mama and you say, Mama, I want to go see Jesus. I've heard about Jesus and I've not been able to see him. And everybody's going to go. And his mama says, well, that's okay. She said, let me pack you a lunch. She goes in the cupboard and she gets what she has for that little child. Two little fish, the kind I usually catch. Two little fish. And five little barley loaves. I'm told by the commentary they're like crackers, like graham cracker size. Not much to them. And he takes that little sack of food and he runs to where Jesus is. But it's like a carnival that day. Thousands of people are at that carnival that day. And the little boy, he struggles through the crowd and he struggles and squirms. And he finally gets close enough to where he can see Jesus. And when he sees Jesus, he sees all kinds of strange things. People come to him, lepers. come to him. They're spotted, and Jesus touches them and he heals them. Sick people, crippled people, they're brought in on stretchers, and Jesus reaches out and he touches them, and they get up and they walk. Blind people who can't see anything around them, they come to Jesus for light, and he touches them, and they're able to see. And he sees miracle after miracle. But then he hears Jesus say something to his disciples. Go and find me something to feed this crowd. And this little boy, all day long, he's watched Jesus feed and heal and do. And in the excitement of it, he's forgotten to eat his lunch. Have y'all ever been that excited that you forgot to eat your lunch? Not many of you, amen.
Amen.
But as a little child, you probably would have. And he's forgotten to eat his lunch. Now his stomach rumbles right now, and he thinks about it as he hears these men talking. And this little boy, he has a choice. He could go on and eat what he's got in his bag. It's just enough for a little boy. Or he could turn around and he could give that to Jesus. To the little boy, there was no contest. He holds out that little bag of food to one of the disciples, and the disciples bring it back to Jesus. Jesus says, what have y'all found that we can feed these people with? Now, this is in the Bible. The disciples said, I've not found anything but this little pitiful meal. It's got two little fish in it and five little biscuits. That little boy all day long watched Jesus healing people and blessing people and lifting people up. He heard Jesus say some wonderful things, but he saw the greatest thing of all that day. Jesus took that little bit that boy had, and he began to multiply it, and multiply it, and thank God for it, and multiply it, and it started growing. And as he stood there astonished, he saw those five little biscuits become basketfuls of biscuits, and the two little fish become basketfuls of fish. I want to ask you this question. Who do you think was more blessed that day? Do you think the 5,000 men, and no telling how many other women and children, were blessed that were asked to sit down and eat? Yeah, they were blessed. They got to fill their bellies. And they had a good meal, and they had a great day. And it was a blessing in getting that. Do you think the disciples who took the food out that day to the people were blessed? I know I would have been blessed, wouldn't you? To take things out to the people and see Jesus feeding this multitude, much more than 5,000. The Bible says it was just 5,000 men. But you know who had the best blessing that day? It was that little boy who gave all that he had. And when he gave all that he had, then God blessed that. And that filled his heart. Beloved, it is blessed to receive. But it is much better to give than to receive. It is much better. You know, when all you do is receive and receive and receive, and you never give. And this is not a tithing message. I'm not talking about tithing, though that's part of it. But this is a giving of yourself. You see, I get up sometimes and I get depressed and I get discouraged. Y'all ever get discouraged?
Amen.
I do. I get discouraged. Sometimes I'm discouraged. I prepare things. God gives me a word to speak and I see empty pews. That discourages me sometimes. But God has told me, he said, you continue to preach what I give you to preach. He said, and I'll bless it. Amen. So that's what I do. And this message was given to you today. This is God's gift to you. It's not something where I sat down and said, can I give my opinion today? This is what Jesus said. He said it is much more blessed to give than to receive. But when you receive and receive and receive and you never give of yourself, the Bible tells us it makes you hard. Over in Luke chapter 16, there's a story about such a man as that. And I'm sure y'all have all heard the story of Lazarus and the rich man. Lazarus was a poor man. He was a beggar. The Bible says that every day he lay at the door of this rich man. And he would fight for the crumbs that they would throw out that night, the leftovers that would be thrown out in the street. He would fight to get to those crumbs. And he would fight the dogs for it. This was Lazarus. Every day, this rich man, he'd see Lazarus on his doorstep. And he'd step over Jesus, or step over this Lazarus, And that's like stepping over Jesus. And he would ignore this man. And as this man suffered and went through all this agony, he, every day he'd put on his finest clothes. And he'd live in this wonderful palace. And he'd step over this man and go into the house that the Bible tells us that one day that rich man died. The Bible tells us that not too long before that, Lazarus, he died. But they had two different states. You see, Lazarus, when he died, the Bible says the angels took him to God in heaven. And he was comforted in that time. But what does it tell us about the rich man? It tells us that in hell, he lifted up his eyes. You know, I think hell is a place where stingy people go. People who don't have time for others. I really do. I think that's where all the stingy ones go. I think when you get to hell, you're going to see a lot of this. Y'all see that?
Amen.
Because that's what happened in Luke 16. That rich man, he said, Abraham, send Lazarus with a drop of water for me to drink because I'm thirsty in this place. He didn't say, ask that God give it to me. The man that he had stepped over his entire life and had no time for, he said, send that man to bring me something to drink. And his whole life he was hardened. You see, if you receive and receive and receive and receive and you never give, then you become hardened. When I was a little boy, I learned what chores were. Y'all ever do chores?
Amen.
I think one of the worst things parents do today is not give their children chores.
Amen.
But my daddy, I asked my daddy one time, I said, do I get an allowance if I do these chores? And daddy said, I'll allow you to live. Ain't that enough? And what he taught me was this. If you're part of the family, then you're supposed to give to the family. And if you want to eat out of the garden, everybody needs to work together on the garden. My job is rock collector. I don't know where Daddy got the seeds that made rocks, but he must have planted rocks because I picked up tons of rocks. But that was my job, was rock collector. My sister was a weeder, and I had a brother who was a waterer. Everybody did something if you wanted to eat out of the garden. But you know what I found out whenever I helped shell a bushel of peas? Them peas tasted so much better. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Field peas? I like them field peas. We'd sit on the front porch and we would shell them peas out. And I mean, it takes forever to shell a bushel of peas.
Amen.
If you've never done it, then you've not lived. And if you have done it, it's a little bit like hell. Amen. It is. By the time you're done, your hands hurt. But you know what's the best thing in the world? Is to sit down at the end of a day and have those filled peas with some ham hock in it and some cornbread off to the side. And as you eat it, you realize I put my part in it too.
Amen.
You see, that's why it's better to give than to receive. And I'm not talking about just tithing. I'm talking about your time.
Amen.
It's better to give. See, that's what the church is supposed to be. That's what the church is supposed to be. And I think we're missing it. I'm not saying this church. I'm saying every church in America is missing this. Jesus said, you're the light of the world. You see, what does light do? Light gives.
Amen.
Light doesn't absorb. It gives. And light shines so that others can see. And I think if the church in America was doing what Jesus said and giving, then I think that there would be more Christ downtown than there is right now.
Amen.
I believe there'd be more Christ in the White House and in the Congress than there is right now.
Amen.
Because, see, if you don't give, then and you just keep on receiving, and that's what everybody's doing. You know, listen to these things where they're doing the debates for the presidential debate now. You hear what they're saying? I've never told y'all how I vote, and I never will tell you how I vote. And I'm not going to tell you how to vote. But I'm just going to tell you this. Jesus is watching you.
Amen.
And you're going to have to give an account for how you vote. So you better pray before you get in that booth to vote. But you vote what God tells you to do. But you know what all the politicians are telling you? They're fighting to see who can bring home the most bacon so that you can get the most stuff. Oh, we'll give you free health care. We'll give you this. We'll give you that. We'll give you cell phones. We'll give you so on and so forth. And there's a whole list of things that they give you. Well, that's fine. But where are they getting it from?
Amen.
They say, well, just print more money. You can't do that. What they're feeding on and what they're hoping on is that you'll be greedy and that you'll say, give me, give me, give me. But that's not what Jesus taught us. What did Jesus teach us? The Bible tells us that Jesus impoverished himself so that he could bless us. That means he came from a throne in heaven to a cradle in a manger, a food trough in a manger. He grew up in a small town. He gave all the time. People came to Jesus, give me this. Jesus gave. And he gave and he gave and he gave. But when he went to that cross of Calvary, he gave the greatest thing of all. On the day that he hung on that cross, he gave us eternal life. And see, that's what giving does. And God gave you life today so that you can give to someone else. Not so that you can take and take and take, but so that you can give. I started to tell this a while ago, and then I'm losing my mind. Anybody else losing their mind? I appreciate the hands, and those that didn't raise your hands, you probably forgot you were losing your mind. There are days when I wake up when I am depressed. Do you know how I get undepressed? I go to the nursing home and I tell somebody about Jesus. I go to the hospital and I pray for somebody. I make fruit baskets and take it to people.
Amen.
I do these things. You know why I do that? It makes me feel so very good.
Amen.
And when you give of yourself, when you share Christ with someone, and that someone comes to church, and they get under conviction, and they give their life to Jesus, I want you to think about yourself as that little boy seeing that those biscuits and those fish turned into much. Because you had a hand in that. And there's nothing more exciting than seeing someone that you told Jesus about coming forward and giving their lives to Jesus. Because you're part and parcel of that. There's a blessing in my life. I've seen three young men surrender to the Lord and give their lives to the ministry. And they're preaching in pulpits now. That is so much joy in that. You see, it's better to give than to receive. What does God want from you? He wants everything. Somebody asked Jesus, he said, what is the greatest commandment in the law? It's this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your being. And you know what else he said?
Amen.
You should love your neighbor as yourself. Would you look at your neighbor right now and say, I do love you. That's easy to do right here. But I want y'all to leave this place today and do that out there.
Amen.
And if you'll do it out there, you're going to find out it's going to make you feel so very good. I've told y'all before, I have a lot of fun being a Christian.
Amen.
But the reason I have a lot of fun being a Christian is I try, though I fail, but I try to do it the way Jesus said do it. And he says it's better to give than to receive. I love you guys. Father, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your message. I thank you, Lord, for this lost beatitude. I pray, Lord, that you will teach us, Lord, from it, that, Lord, we'll leave this place and shine wherever we go. I thank you, Lord, for those who brought the breakfast this morning, Lord. What a wonderful joy that is that they brought this wonderful meal for us. I thank you, Lord, for those who made the coffee today. I thank you, Lord God, for the Sunday school teachers giving of their time, Lord, studying their lessons.
And I thank you, Lord God, for every person in this church. From those who mow the grass, to those who clean the floors, to those who wash the windows. Lord, nothing is not seen by you. And Lord, you tell us that one day we'll be face to face with you. And on that day, we will be judged if we are in you. Not for heaven or hell, because Jesus Christ paid for us. But the day that we as Christians see you, we're going to be judged for the works that we've done, how well we have given. And we'll receive reward for it. Until that day, we may not be rewarded. We may do things for people who think nothing of saying thank you or I appreciate it. But Lord, let us be light anyway. Because one day, all of our works will be rewarded. Lord, let us shine for you. Let us remember it's more blessed to give than to receive. And let us remember too, Lord, that the small bit that we give, let us remember the widow who put all that she had into the pot that day. Lord, if we don't have much, if we just give what we have, Lord, you promised to bless it and multiply and make it into much. Lord, make this church a mighty church for you. Let it be a mighty light for you in this community. Bless those that work with their children, our teams. Bless our Wednesday night crowd. And Lord, help us to be the people that you need us to be. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Turn with me to number 450.
In prayer, brother.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, Father, just thanking you, Father, for the blessings that we get each day. We thank you, Father, for being able to gather here this morning, Father, to worship you. And we thank you, Father, for the ones that brought the great music to us and the preacher that brought the word to us. And Father, let us thank you for this church. I pray, Father, that there's one here this